Okay, so in Parak Aleph, at the end of Pasuk Beis, so we discussed Kum Lech on Nineveh. There's a machlekes whether he would be given a prophecy or a mitzvah to rebuke the people of Nineveh. Ha'ir Agdela, we spoke about the Evan Ezra, that the Agdela means that they were a great city because they didn't worship Avodah Zarah.
Right.
And the Barbanel.
Noach, it talks about it, I noticed
right.
This week. This
beautiful,
part.
Beautiful. Ukraila, also there's a machlekes whether Ukraila means to prophesize upon it or to give it Musar. Ki also rasam lefanei, the evil arose in front of me. There's a commentary called the Mahari Kara. They said specifically, what does it mean that evil has come up in front of me?
How do you spell?
Mem hei resh apostrophe yud. Now this is a very interesting commentary, and I wish we'd have the time to discuss it fully. It's thought provoking. So what does it mean that their evil has arisen before me? He says it's referring to a specific evil, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that they're going to be the cause of exile, of the exile of the 10 tribes. So the evil that they are destined, then the future they're going to perpetrate, has arisen in front of me. And because of that evil, I want you, Yain, to go tell them that they are going to be destroyed. So it sounds like they're being destroyed because of a present evil, which in the future will manifest itself in them causing the exile of the 10 tribes. I mean, you can't punish a person for something that he didn't do yet. But you could punish him for something, the catalyst, you know, what's present. You know, the evil that they have now is what causes them to do this in the future. Now, this creates all kinds of problems or challenges how to figure this out. We're just going to leave it like that. We're going to leave it up to you. So the Kadosh Baruch wants him to prophesize destruction upon the city of Nineveh because Hashem saw the evil that they're going to perpetrate in the future on the Aseret HaShvatim. Now if they're destroyed, they won't be able to do it. So how could you punish them for something they didn't do if by punishing them they're not going to get to do it?
Something very small.
Very similar to the Yerushim Kasha. Hashem Sefer. That's why I specifically said that it seems to me that the evil that causes them, or that brings it out in them, is already present. By Yishmael, it wasn't true. It wasn't even Yishmael.
There was already something there by Yishmael. You shoot arrows at.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as killing off the entire nation. That's not the same thing. He didn't kill Yitzchak. Did he kill him?
No.
He could have if he wanted to.
But he wouldn't be able to get away with it, it sounds like.
So, you know, if somebody is totally dedicated to eradicating to someone else, they find a way.
Especially if they have a bow and arrow and the other person doesn't.
Just wanted to, like, torture and scare and whatever.
Yeah, Yishmael.
He was an older brother.
Yishmael, as a rule, has tolerance for the B'nai Yisrael. The one thing that they can't tolerate is that we should have Eretz Yisrael. But that is the issue, and that's mamash. You see that happening over and over again in current events. They can't tolerate that we should have sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. But during the times when we didn't have it, so then there was a certain tolerance. I mean, they weren't so nice to us, but they didn't do half the damage that the Christians did. I mean, Hitler acted in the name of Christianity. There was tolerance. They tolerated
us. The Bible thing also said that Christians couldn't have us have Israel either.
Christians don't want us to exist. They want. They're against.
And then there's Esau.
No, he said that Amalek always says that right when we're about to get into Eretz Yisrael, they always stop us, like Esau with Yaakov, and then
we realize we have power when we go there.
That's the battlefront. But the Yaakov and Esau are mutually exclusive, diametrically opposed. They can't coexist. Yishmael and Yitzchak could. And Lassalava, Yishmael, there is going to be a segment of Yishmael that has a ticker. They're going to make it. There is going to be a segment of Yishmael that will make it.
Really?
Yes. But that's Ma'amish of Pasuk Gimel.
Are they included in Para Adam, the ones that will?
Well, Para Adam means that they have a shakas to being Adam.
So there is a group of them that are not considered totally.
They'll be more identified with the Adam in them than the wild man in them. Wild man means there's a man, there's at least a human being inside. You just have to get control. I mean, Esav's not a man at all. I mean, Amalek is Esav. Right, Pasuk Gimel. Vayakim Yehina Levreach Tarshisha. So Yehina got up to run away to Tarshish. Mufnei Hashem. Yeah. From in front of God. Vayirid Yafo. He went down to Yafo. It's Jaffa. Yafo. That's a port city. Vayim Tzani, and he found a boat. Ba Tarshish. It's coming either to or from Tarshish. We'll see. Ba Tarshish.
That's twice.
Pashup Shad is that it's going to Tarshish. It's about to embark on the way to Tarshish. Vayitin Schara, he paid for the boat. He paid his fare. Vayirid Bani, he went down into the boat. Lavayi Mayim to travel with them, to travel among them, Tarshisha, to Tarshish, Melchnei Hashem, from in front of God. Just a bit of trivia. The Abar Bernel says that the Yishma'elim, the Arabs, they have a city called Tunis, which the Abar Bernel has a Masaira is the city of Tarshish, so this could be Tunisia, Tunis.
Oh.
It's a city, it's a Tarshish is known among the Ishmaelim as Tunis. So he wanted to go to Tunis instead of to Nineveh. And he was in Eretz Yisrael. Since Nineveh is to the east, it's in Assyria. And Tunisia would be northwest. Tunisia's northwest. It's northwest.
Okay.
Well, Tunisia's Africa.
I don't know. Should I get
Tunisia's Africa. It's west. Not north. It's west. So he was going the opposite direction. Tunisia's west. So he was supposed to go to the east, and he went to the west.
Tarshish was a rich city, right?
Tunisia. The names.
Isn't there also an opinion that Tarshish just means like the sea? Like you're just trying to get away?
Ibn Ezra. No. Tarshish is either a distant sea or city. Targum says
that's
it's
Rashi.
In any case, he chose a sea-going vessel to get there. The big shell on this pasuk is. He was a Navi. I mean, even a from Jew knows you can't run away from Hashem. What's he doing? The Pasuk says he's running away from God. You can't run away from God. The Barbanel has a number of approaches. And on a general basis, Nevuah could only come upon a prophet in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, there's a number of exceptions, but there are exceptions to the rule. The level that the Navi has to reach in order to be fit to receive the Dvar Hashem can only be attained in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the only land that has Kedusha. Lands outside of Eretz Yisrael are Tameh. Yehina wanted to avoid HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to him a second time. You can't run away from Hashem. Hashem knows where you are. Hashem is in control. Hashem is the master. But he thought that he could avoid receiving a nevuah, because he didn't want to hear that nevuah. We explained before that the nevuah to Nineveh would cause him to do a superficial tshuva. That would cast the Aseret HaShvatim in a bad light, and it would ultimately bring destruction on the 10 tribes, because the people of Nineveh did tshuva and the people of the 10 tribes did not do tshuva. So for covet of Klal Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael's sake, he was endeavoring to avoid nevuah.
He didn't receive yet. This is only after the first mention that he's sort of going
to
get it.
Yeah, well, according to the pshat we said before, the Malbim says that he never got a nevuah. Hashem told him to give them a sir. So he knew that the next step was to deliver a nevuah. So he wanted to avoid that. The Medrash says that he was punished for this, because he's giving precedence to Klal Yisrael over Kadosh Baruch Hu. You want Mesiras Nefesh? The Medrash gives a mashal. It's like someone that a father's covet is in danger of being disgraced, and a son's in danger of being destroyed. And there's a friend of the father's that he's only concerned about the son. So the father says, you're only worried about the son, you're not worried about the father. You're only concerned about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the son of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not concerned about the father. He was punished for this. The Abarbanel gives a mashal.
Abarbanel said that as well.
Yeah, he brings the medrash. Yeah. Abarbanel gives a mashal. Let's say there's an eved Kanani of a kain, and he breaks something that a favorite item of the kains. He's afraid he's going to get beaten. Where's the eved going to run? He doesn't want to get beaten. Where's he going to run? Nobody knows.
Away.
Eved of a kohen. He's going
to a cemetery.
He goes. He runs to a cemetery. The kohen knows he's there. The kohen sees him there. But he has rules.
He's got to leave at some point. And the beating gets worse.
What?
Oh.
It's a marshal.
If he never leaves, the beating never comes. Unless the coin just gets someone else to drag.
Yeah, he's gonna.
Which is exactly what Hashem did.
Sorry, we're in the middle of a shir. He runs to basic forest. Yaina was leaving Eretz Yisrael. He was running to Chazdar. It's like running to basic forest. Babylon brings another medrash. Yaina boarded the boat in Tarshish, and he planned to drown himself at sea. If he dies, then Hashem definitely can't give him a nevuah prophecy. So there's two pshatim here. One pshat is that he went on the boat in order to leave Eretz Yisrael so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give him a nevuah. And secondly, he went on a boat because he's planning on killing himself, which is a final way of preventing nevuah. And he learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should forgive the Bnei Yisrael for Chata Egel. And Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, if you're not going to forgive the Bnei Yisrael, Mecheni na misifacha, wipe me out, eradicate me from your book. That being eradicated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's book is tantamount to dying. Moshe was begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Bnei Yisrael or kill him. Because Moshe said, I can't go on living if the Bnei Yisrael are to be destroyed. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered to start a new Bnei Yisrael from Moshe, Moshe wanted to, would rather die. And that Yehuda was doing the same thing. He saw that if he lives, destruction is going to come upon the Seres HaShvatim. So he's willing to die. The Malbim says something similar along these lines. The Yain ran away in order to avoid receiving a nevuah. But the Malbim asks, why specifically in the sea? Go to a desert. Go to Chutz La'aretz. Why of all places the sea? Why did you choose the sea of all places? If you're just trying to avoid nevuah, so go to Chutz La'aretz. Go to Lebanon, Syria, there's closer places. Iraq. Why the sea? And the Malbim says, because there were exceptions. There were Nevi'im that did get Nevuah Chutz La'aretz. Yecheskel HaNavi received Nevuah Chutz La'aretz. Eliyahu HaNavi received a Nevuah Chutz La'aretz. And Yehuda wanted to be sure. Eliyahu HaNavi got a Nevuah in the Midbar.
And no one ever got in the sea?
The sea, the Malbim says, is a svara. Because in the sea, and anyone that's ever gone out in the sea knows that in the beginning, all you're doing is throwing up green stuff. There's no peace of mind. There's no state of mind. There's no mind at sea. It's just you're unsettled. And one of the conditions for being a prime choice to receive a nevuah is to have dasmi yeshevis. You should have peace of mind. So he put himself in a situation that peace of mind is an impossibility.
But then if he stayed in Eretz Yisrael, he still wouldn't have had peace of mind because he would have been afraid of what he had to do the whole time. So maybe
he went out of his way to destroy his peace of mind. That it's not possible. Uh-huh. That's not enough. He did, basically, Yehuda did whatever he could do. He did the most he could do. He didn't rely on it. You're saying he was disturbed because he was scared.
Yeah.
But he could be more. He could do more. So why do half measures? And we could do more. Mesiras Nefesh means he didn't just go through the motions. He went 100%. So he went into the Yam. The Malbim adds that there's another reason why he chose to travel by ship. Because he'd be locked up. He'd be isolated in an environment with Ovdei Kochavim, with idolaters. When you're on dry land, so then you're not locked up. You're not together with idolaters. You might be live in their proximity. You might be nearby, but you're not in a bubble with them. When you're in a ship with them, you're the only civilization for miles is what's on that boat. There's no habitation. You're in the vast expanse of sea. You're like in an encased bubble with idolaters. So he felt that Hashem would not appear to him in such a setting. So see, he was doing the maximum. He was trying everything. Leave Eretz Yisrael. Go in a place where you'd have the minimum peace of mind. Be in the company of idolaters. Please, please, the Kadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't appear to him in a nevuah. That's the Malbim.
Both of these questions are both the Malbim, not Abba Avinu?
Well, the Abba Avinu says that he left Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is a place where nevuah is the proper place for nevuah. The Barbana says he went by sea because he was planning on dying by drowning at sea. So the Malbim has an alternate explanation why he went by sea. Now there's something which we have to make clear here. It says in the Pasuk, Vayetze, sorry, it says, Livreyak Tashishim Lifnei Hashem. He's running away from Lifnei Hashem. It says it twice. Livoyim Mayim Tashishim Lifnei Hashem. Some may erroneously mistranslate this. and say that it means he's running away from the face of God. You can't run away from the face of God. Devin Ezra points this out. He says that running away from the face of God would be, it would say in the Pasuk, Mipnei Hashem, from the face of God. The Lamed is inserted in the Pasuk that he was running away from Lifnei Hashem. Not from Pnei Hashem, but from Lifnei Hashem. What's the difference between Pnei Hashem and Lifnei Hashem? The face of God or in front of God? Pnei Hashem is the face of God, and Lifnei Hashem is in front of God.
Glasses?
Devin Ezra. Pnei Hashem is the term which is used to describe Kadosh Baruch Hu's Yediya and Ashkacha. His knowledge, he's all-knowing, Ashkacha and his supervision, he supervises. Pnei Hashem. Hashem is a Mashkiach. He knows all, he sees all, and he controls all. Lifnei Hashem, with the Lamed, means something totally different. Lifnei Hashem means a person that is Lifnei Hashem means a lot more than a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows of his existence. Lifnei Hashem means that one enjoys a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. One has a connection with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Devin Ezra says that's why it says in the pasuk from Lifnei Hashem, Yena was not running away from God. You can't run away from God. Yonah was running away from the relationship with God. And this sits well with the other explanations. He was running to Chutz La'aretz. He was running to a place where he would be unsettled. He was running to a place of idolaters. That's running away from the relationship with God. He thought he would succeed. That was his Havamina. He was wrong. I'm just saying he was wrong. You can't even run away from that. But that's what he thought. He thought he could run away from the relationship.
Well, he was just knocking. He was like sort of going off the barrack and something. He wouldn't have kept Torah mitzvah.
Okay, if I had to keep Torah mitzvah, he didn't want Nevuah. Nevuah is the ultimate relationship.
He knows and sees everything.
In control. He's in control. You can never get it. You can never exit. You can never go out of God's dominion, his control. He has full control. But Yehuda thought he could avoid the relationship of prophecy. The relationship of prophecy is a strong relationship. It's the ultimate. God reveals himself from within the Navi. That's very strong, powerful. Devin Ezra brings his apostle this year. We're in these parshiyos. He brings apostle. Vayetze Kayin Milifnei Hashem. Kayin exited. He went out. Milifnei Hashem, from in front of God. And there it also says Lifnei Hashem. Because Kayin also knew that you can't get away from God. But Kayin lost his relationship with God. As a result of the murder of his brother, he lost his relationship with God.
So why did Hashem put his name on his forehead, like to give him that like artificial Tzelem Elokim?
If he had the real one, then he wouldn't need the mark on his forehead.
Well, I mean, it showed like that God still cared about him.
Yeah, but what God is doing is that he's removing his protection from him, but he's giving him like a tool. It's like you send off your son, you banish your son, but you give him a rifle to fight the bandits in the woods. Mm-hmm. If he had the cash, if he had the relationship with him, he wouldn't need to put the letter of his name on it. I mean, that stems from the relationship, because God never sends away his children. He never really sends away his children. And God cares, even when God displays that he wants to end the relationship, that's just outward appearances. He does ultimately care. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Rabbi Yisak. V'Hashem hitel ruach gedola yam. Hashem caused a stormy, a strong wind, a big wind. It's at sea. V'hi sar gadol b'yam. There was a big storm at sea. V'adiyach kishvali shaver. And the boat was in danger of breaking.
It's a pretty strong storm if it could have broken the ship itself.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a regular wind. The Malbim is medayik from the Pasuk that this wind was an extraordinary wind. In general, when things go according to the natural order, winds at sea emanate from dry land. They originate from dry land and they go out to sea, or sometimes vice versa. Winds come from someplace. If there's a wind at sea, it came from the dry land. But the Malbim is medayik from the pasuk that it says hitel ruach gedola layam. Hashem placed, because the word hitel literally means to insert. Hashem inserted a wind into the sea. That means it came up from the sea. They're in the boat, and the wind sprung up around them. There was no wind anyplace else. It was only around the boat. It didn't come from anywhere. It didn't blow across the dry land, blow across the waves until it reached the boat. It was right there, because Baruch Hu took a wind and put it right there. It was self-generated from the sea. It was a miraculous wind, and it was clear that it was miraculous. And the wind surrounded the boat. And that's the only place the wind was. It was around the boat. And it was like a very strange happening. Because they were surrounded by other boats.
Some placed? Is that hit on?
Inserted. All the other boats were floating along. They're enjoying their holiday. And they're traveling in tranquil seas. And the one boat was caught in the middle of a storm. And like you said, it was so strong that the boat was going to sink. And that's real. That's, you know, that's clear. Kadosh Baruch Hu was revealing himself. It was very clear to everyone that this was above the natural order. The Barbanos says, you see a source for this medrash, that there were other boats that they were sailing along peacefully, and this boat was caught in the middle of a storm. It was isolated from the word Ha'aniyah. The rules of dikduk are that the hey in front of a word caused the word to be prominent. It's called the hey ha'yediyah. It's not just a boat. It's the boat. Ha'aniyah. The boat. So the Babino makes a diyuk from there. That there were other boats and they weren't in danger of drowning. Which one was in danger? The boat. This boat. Ha'aniyah. So that's an indication there were other boats, but this one was singled out. At the end of the pasuk, there's a phrase which needs to be explained. It says Ha'aniyah, and the boat, Chishva, thought, Lehi Shaver, to be broken. That's the literal translation. The boat thought it was going to break. boats think? Do boats think? The boat thought it was going to break. So the three pshatim days, so when this Gabar ben Asa says Chishvali Shaver is not going on the boat thinking. Boats don't think. Chishvali Shaver is like there's like a whole section missing there. It says Vahaniya and the boat Chishvali Shaver. They plotted to break it. That's how you read it. Vahaniya and the boat, comma. They plotted to break it. It's not Barbara now. It's referring to the sailors. That the sailors were at their wits' end. They're in the middle of a storm. It arose from nowhere. They're in deep waters and they're going to die. So what do you do when you're in the, what do? You make for dry land. You break the boat along the rocks and you swim for it. They knew that they couldn't make a safe landing. So they tried to maneuver the boat over to where the rocks were, I guess, and smash the boat against the rocks, and then, you know, save whoever they could. So the Abarbanel learns it was a tactic. On the yacht, on the boat, Kishvali Shaver, they plotted to break it against the rocks, to break it against dry land. And that way they'll be saved, because if they don't, the boat's going to sink. The Malbim. Has an alternate shot. It says Vaniya and the boat Kishvali Shaver means they thought it was going to break. That's the way I translated the pasuk when I read it. That's Vaniya and the boat Kishvali Shaver. Everyone thought it was going to break. So Bar Benel learns they intentionally plan to break it. And the Malbim says that the boat, comma Kishvali Shaver. Everyone they thought it was going to break. Which is a fancy way of saying that it was in danger of breaking apart. And the pshat which I like the most of all, because this is mamish pasha pshat, see midrashim are more pasha, you know, people think midrashim, oh that's not pasha pshat. I think midrashim are more pasha pshat than conventional pshat. Midrashim could be much more literal. And in this case, this is a prime example. The Medrash's Vaniya Kishvali Shaver explains it literally. That the Aniya is a creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the boat. Everything that's in creation was fashioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the boat to break apart. And the boat responded, Vaniya, and the boat Kishvali Shaver. It's acting on its command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all appearances are that the boat is planning on destroying itself. That's mamish the literal meaning of the pasuk. The boat thought, yes, boats do think, or the boat planned, or the boat plotted to break itself, to destroy itself, because it's being mekayim the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So what took it so long? Because it's not so easy.
Hashem was giving Yena a chance to do tshuva. He didn't. Mm. He didn't. Hashem was giving Yena a chance to do tshuva. Yena didn't. He didn't do tshuva until the second fish. This is his first chance. Chance number one. That's okay. Vayira HaMalachim. The sailors were scared. And they cried out to their idols. And they thrust the vessels, Asheba Aniya, which were in the boat, Elayam, and they threw them into the sea. You cast everything that, you know, everything into the sea so you lighten the load. To lighten the load. Where was Yaina when all this was going on?
Sleeping.
V'yeni yarad yeru descended al yakasi asfina to the depths of the boat. V'yishkav and he lied down v'yeradam and he entered into a deep, deep slumber. They're praying and he's sleeping. Seemingly strange behavior. They're doing everything they can. They're doing their hishtadlus, throwing everything overboard, and then they dive it. I mean, but they dive into who they dive into. And he's not helping them physically. He's not even doing a physical hishtadlus, and he's not diving it.
He realizes Hashem's coming after him, and he doesn't want a relationship with Hashem anymore, so why would he do anything?
Well,
separate himself even more, go to
right,
sleep.
That's right. That's right. So the Barbanel says, Tupshatim. I mean, his first shot is that Yana was partially embarrassed to show his face. He was embarrassed. He hid. He went into hiding as much as possible. You know how it is when a guy does something really bad and doesn't want to face it, goes to sleep. That's what, you know, that's the way of not facing something. He was embarrassed. He knew he was wrong. He was doing it anyway. He was deliberately doing something wrong, and he knew that he was going to kill himself in this world and the next world to save Klal Yisrael. But he couldn't show his face. The Marishan, what did Adam Rishan do when he ate from Eitz Hadas? He hid. It was wrong. And the second thing that Barbanel says, that's what Yonah Roth says. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that sleep, slumber, is 1/60th of death. That means we experience in slumber 1/60th of what one experiences in death. He wanted to die. So by going to sleep, he's starting the process. He only has 59 parts more to go. He's 1/60th dead. So he's that much closer. So he did everything. You know, he didn't want to commit suicide because that's usur. But he did everything in his power to ensure that he would die without actually taking his life. But
it's also usur to not listen to God and then run away from him.
Yeah, but at least that
he justified it to himself.
He was wrong, but he justified
it
to himself.
Why wouldn't he just kill himself and put the other people out of harm's way?
He was doing that.
Maybe he thought he was a rodef and he could have just had resources.
So I think in order to understand this more fully, I have to tell you the Malbim's pshat. The Malbim has a merdik akash on this pasuk. The Malbim's pshat complements the Barbanel's pshat. I mean, you notice we're going to be going through every single Malbim and every single Barbanel in this entire sefer. You know,
instead of writing Malbim and Barbanel, I'm just going to write shorter.
Right, to remember Aleph or something.
Yeah.
The pasuk says they threw all the kalim which were in the aniyah. They threw all the so what's an aniyah about? They threw out the vessels which were in the aniyah. And when it said Yonah went to sleep, he went to sleep in the nether depths of the Sfina. So it means the sailors were in an aniyah and Yonah was in a Sfina. Weren't they in the same boat? Weren't they all in the same boat? When they're throwing the vessels out, it's called an aniyah. When he's going to sleep, it's called a sfina. So the Malbim answers this question with another question, in a typical Jewish fashion. He said, you know, we have to understand what Yain exactly had in mind exactly when he went to the deepest part of the Sfina possible. He chose there to go to sleep. He went to the bottom of the Sfina. Go to sleep in your room. He has a bed. They have a place where they sleep every night. Go to sleep there. He wasn't going to sleep in his quarters. Bob Noah explains why he went to sleep. But why did he go to sleep there?
Well, I guess because they emptied out the cargo hold, so he figured they wouldn't look for him there.
That's a good shot. But that's not what the Rama says. So the Rama says two reasons. He quotes a Gemara in Yevamos that Rabbi Akiva was in a shipwreck. And he was lost at sea. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Rabbi Akiva. And he used the waves of the sea as his shluchim, as his messengers to save Rabbi Akiva. The waves did not allow him to sink. They tossed him from one wave. The waves literally tossed Rabbi Akiva from one wave to the next. So he never went under. And a wave came up, it rose above, picked him up, and tossed him in the air. And the next wave did it. And from one wave to the next, they passed him until they reached dry land. Yonah didn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Yonah didn't want to be retrieved by Kadosh Baruch to Eretz Yisrael. Then he'll be exposed to Nevuah. If he's on top, so then if there's a shipwreck, he'll float free of the shipwreck. And then the waves will toss him to dry land. And Yonah wants to do the maximum. A human being has limits to what he could do, but he wanted to do everything he could do. You see it, you know. Whatever he could do, he could do. So if he goes to the lowest part of the boat, then he has the least chance of floating free from the wreckage. That's the first shot in the mouth. The second shot in the mouth is brilliant. It's just brilliant. I mean, it's just... Boats sink in stages. The first part of the boat to sink, to go underwater, is the lowest part of the boat. Because water enters, and it fills up the boat, and it fills it from the bottom up. If Yen is in the bottom of the boat, so then he's going to die first. Because the water is going to cover him first. As soon as he dies, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to fill the rest of the boat with water. Hashem's not interested in killing the sailors at this time. So that was the best way for him to give up his own life without putting the sailors in danger. So that's why he went to the bottom of the boat.
Why doesn't he just jump off the boat?
He can't. He would not take direct action to end his life. He'll put himself in the bottom of the boat. It's a safe place. If Hashem wants to kill him, so Hashem did it. He didn't do it. The Rambam uses this pshat to explain why the pasuk switches from aniyah to svina. You said aniyah is a boat. You said svina is a borrowed term. It really doesn't mean boat.
Yeah, no, I was just about
to say. I think it didn't. What is the stability of a boat? The stability of a boat is found in the ballast. You all know what ballast is. That means a certain amount of, for a boat to be seaworthy, a certain amount of it has to go beneath the water. It has to be a certain percentage. A certain amount of the boat has to, in order for it to be stable. Otherwise, it'll tip over. The reason why a boat is called a Svina is because of its ballast. Because that's the main thing, that's the stabilizing agent of the boat. The word Svina comes from the word Safun. Safun means hidden or covered up. Svina means the vehicle which exists because of its covered part. So when they were throwing things off the boat, where were they? Which part of the boat were they?
They were on the deck.
So the appropriate word for that is aniyah. That aniyah is the boat part. But when Yonah went down to hide because he wanted to get hit by the waters first, he was in the part that was beneath the water level. That's svina. So you see, in the pasuk. The Medrash, you see the source of the Medrash within the very words of the pasuk.
Aniyah is...
boat, that's the revealed part of the boat.
Aniyah is the revealed part, Svina is...
It's the ballast, the part that's beneath the surface. Mamish. Pasuk Vav. Vayakri v'lov Rav HaChayvel, the captain of the boat, the admiral of the boat, boat.
So did I. What?
Approached him.
Yeah. Really? I didn't buy it, but I was about to.
He was discovered.
I took it on the desk.
Vayemalai, and he told Yaina, Malachanidim, why are you slumbering?
Yo.
Kum kral alakecha. Call out to your gods.
I got to the store, and I was like, oh, how much is Brooklyn?
And it was cheap.
No, I was holding it right here.
Whoever you believe in, call out to him.
How much is Brooklyn?
Truth is, you could say alakecha. I don't think you have to say alakecha on this word. Because his kavana was idolatry. Mm-hmm. Call out to your gods, whoever it is. Just pick, you know. Maybe we missed one. Maybe you got one that we don't know about. Ula yisashesa lehim lanu. Maybe the gods will have rachmanis on us. There's a machlokes what the word yisashes means. The Targum Yonas ibn Azir says it means compassion. Maybe the gods will have compassion on us. And the Radak says the word Yisashes is that maybe if you pray to them, he'll want us around. It's Machlokes with the lashon of Rachamim or Ratzon. Want us around. The Radak says it means Ratzon. Maybe he'll want us. And if he wants us, he won't destroy us. Leinavid, it won't be destroyed.
Which part is the same as Rebbe?
Yes, Sashes.
I did the same exact thing,
though. So we're going to go through the next couple of psukim. We're going to go through a bunch of mistakes that these sailors are making. You know, they have no idea what's going on. And they don't get it. Until the very end, they don't get it. They believed in forces. They believed in forces, all kinds of gods. And they believed that these forces are antagonistic. You know, for example, the god of fire doesn't like fish. And the god of water, he doesn't like candles, fires. You know, they believe in these things. So whatever kayak something represented, they had a malach or a sar, an officer on high in charge of it, and they're antagonistic to the other kayakers. And things happen in the world because you happen to enter into the domain, you know, you enter into the dark side of the moon, you know, so the gods on the dark side of the moon don't like light people, the gods on the white side of the moon don't like dark people. So you stumble into things, you know. Avodah Zarah, one of the main motivations or times for Avodah Zarah is to avoid the issue of personal responsibility. I'm not getting punished because I did something wrong. I'm punished because today's a Tuesday. And the God of Wednesday doesn't like, you know, Woden, you know. The guy of Wednesday, he doesn't like people that are born on Tuesday. And they believed it. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu enabled them to believe it. So they're going to go through, a whole process of mistakes here. And, the Malbim says that the captain believed that there was a general decree on people that are in boats. Why is there a decree on them? Because they're in the boat. And it doesn't, you know, it's not because of something that anybody did. There's a decree from some power because you're in the boat. You're in the boat, you're part of the decree. You're not in the boat, you're not part of the decree. It's not because of something anyone did. So now how do you avert this calamity if you're in the boat?
You can't pray to a different God.
So that, you pray. You all pray, right. You all pray. You all pray to everybody. And if everybody in the boat prays, so then the disaster is going to be averted. But if one guy doesn't pray, so the decree is on that one guy. It's not on the other guys, but it's on that one guy. But it ain't going to help them too much, because if the boat's destroyed because of the one guy, you know, that's the famous marshal. You can't drill a hole in the bottom of the boat and say, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. So, if there's anger against the people in the boat, and one guy goes to sleep instead of praise, then he's going to get destroyed. And they're all going to go down with it. So that's why he woke him up. He says, you've got to pray also, because the decree is on anybody that's in the boat, and you're in the boat. So you've got to pray.
So So who says this?
This is the Malbim. Now the Abavanel says on this pasuk that there was some awareness on their part. You know, to the degree of awareness, I don't know. But there was some awareness on this part that they hadn't davened to Hashem yet. They knew about Hashem. They knew that they hadn't davened to Him yet. They davened to other idols, they hadn't davened to Hashem. And they had the sneaky suspicion that the reason why they weren't answered is because they sort of, that's the one that they didn't daven to. And he finds the one person that's not davening in the bottom. So to what degree of certainty, they weren't certain. We're going to see in the next one, they weren't certain. But they did have a sneaky suspicion that they left out the one God that they really didn't want to daven to. They didn't want it, because if you daven to God, and you have to admit that He's the Emes. If you admit that He's the Emes, you have to discard your belief system, and they don't want to do that, because then they have to accept on themselves responsibility. And people are very tenacious. They are very, very connected to irresponsibility. They don't want to give it up. So they'll leave it as a last resort. So they basically, in the back of their minds, when they were asking Yenda to daven, they were hoping it was in daven to Hashem. That's what the Abavanel says. Now, if you look at the Pasuk doesn't exactly say that. Because they start out by asking him to daven to his gods. And they end off by saying, Ulai, perhaps he's Ashes Velakim Lanu. The gods will have compassion on us. If they're asking Yaina to daven, Elokecha is singular. Daven to yours, that means you have a God that we didn't daven to yet, and He's your God. So why are they saying that he'll have Ratzon of compassion upon us? They're included in the equation. There's other ways of answering this question, but Barbanel answers that even though they were forced to admit that there's one being that they hadn't appealed to yet, and they came to the realization, they're forced to come to the realization that somebody better daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they weren't willing to admit that that's the only thing that's going to save them. So their approach was, our gods also, you know, we appeal to them, and that's also going to help. We have to have all gods together in one group in order for it to work. including our Kaddish Baruch. So, Yaina, you daven to Hashem, to God, and then we're going to have a nice, big, happy family. All the Chas v'Shalom, you kids discussing this Ishita thing. Then all the gods together with Hashem, together, we're going to appease them all in one shot. They're putting God on equal footing with the Avodah Zarah, and then we're going to get saved. Even though they're in mortal peril, mortal danger, and they're about to die, and they appeal to their gods, and nothing happened. And they know that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of it. They're still not willing to admit that it's only a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe together, as a result of all our tefillos, we're going to be answered. Lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow these impressions to go on. They're going to have to, this is a process. They're going to have to admit. Eventually, they're being led along a path, which they're going to see that all their options, this is not going to do it. This group prayer meeting, this is not going to work. It's not happening. Yeah.